All right. You guys ready today? You guys ready? All right. Okay. I can go with that. Okay. So we have been unwrapping the names of Jesus, well, last week, and we're going to continue on with that. We're looking forward to our celebration of the day when Jesus came to earth to save our sins. It is an exciting time of the year. Who's excited for Christmas time? Yes. It is an exciting time of the year. We had our BGMC Sunday going on today. The kids are going to be coming upstairs and singing in 2 weeks from now, so they've been practicing. So we got some exciting stuff going on. Last week, Evan spoke about Jesus, and he unwrapped the name of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Today, we're going to be unwrapping a new name that the Bible gives to Jesus. So actually, Evan wrapped this nice present for me to unwrap. So this is our, I don't know if it's upside down or not, so hopefully I get it right. This is going to be our new name that we're unwrapping today. The arm of the Lord. Everyone give me a nice flex. Yeah, the arm of the Lord. All right, so this is what we're going to be unwrapping today. I'm going to put this right here. Well, we already unwrapped it, but we're going to unwrap it in Scripture today too. Yeah. So it's referred to throughout the Bible, but specifically we're going to be focusing on the middle chapters of Isaiah. We're talking about arms today. What are some of the biggest arms that you guys know? Who has some of the biggest arms? Schwarzenegger, The Rock, The Hulk, Brock Lesnar, yep. Terry Crews, Truett Davis, yeah. Yep. Would you say Michael Sudak? No? Okay. Oh, yeah, young. Sorry, I thought bad ears, I guess. Yeah. So we're talking about arms today. We're going to start things off with a little game. Who likes games? Yes, we're going to have some fun today. A little Taylor Christian-themed game we're going to play called, Hey, Whose Arm Is That? All right, so here's how it's going to work. I'm going to show a slide of somebody's arm that attends here at Taylor Christian. And I want you to try to tell me whose arm you think that is. If it's your first time today, look around the room. Most of them are here. Just give it your best guess. You know, but it's going to be fun. Okay, so there's not really going to be a winner. Just kind of like make your decision and don't lie and say, yeah, that's what I said. All right, because we're in church. All right, just kind of like do your best. We're going to have some fun with it, okay? So, Nate, show me that first arm. Whose arm is that? This one's kind of a fun one. It is an arm. It is an arm. If you know it, you know it. You will know it once you. Rabia, do you know it? Can we see that? No? Oh. Yeah, that's what it is. It is! So see whose arm that is. Hey, that's Batman's arm! The Batman of Taylor, who goes to our church that we are so blessed to have. Yes, that's Batman's arm. All right, let's go to the next one. Hey, whose arm is that? Oh, wow. Okay, a unanimous Nate. Hey, that's Nate's arm. Yes, it is. Yep, can see that arm from a mile away. All right. Hey, whose arm is that pixelated arm? Yes, that pixelated arm belongs to our very own Miss Nick. Yes. All right, who we got next? Hey, whose arm is that? Paul? You think that's my arm? All right. Hey, whose arm is that? Hey, that's Paul's arm. Yes, playing a piano in the back of the truck. The man. Yep. All right, let's do the next one. Hey, whose arm is that? Evan? You think it's Evan? Okay. Hey, that is Evan, our fearless leader. That is his arm. Yep. Always, he's got like a million of those pictures on Facebook where he's pointing to the sidewalk where he runs. Yep. Hey, Evan. Watch it online. All right. And, hey, whose arm is that? My arm. Let's see. Hey, that's my arm. Yes. Yes, it is. Yep. Yep, wow, you guys are way better at this than I thought. All right. Here's our last one. Hey, whose arm is that? Craig, okay. Any other thoughts? Okay, Judy. All right, whose arm is that? Hey, that's Craig's arm. Yeah. That is Craig's arm. Yes, Yes. All right. All right. Thank you for playing. Hey, whose arm is that? I hope that was a good time. All right. Yes. So maybe we recognized some of those arms. Maybe we didn't. That's okay. But today we're going to be talking about the arm that we ought to all recognize in Scripture. And that is the arm of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk about the mighty and outstretched arm of God. Today we're going to look at how Israel used that phrase, the arm of the Lord, or the arm of God, to refer to God's deliverance of their past, to hope for God's deliverance of what was their present, and God's ultimate deliverance for the future of all believers. Let's pray. Lord, we are so glad to be in your presence. You've been so good to us. Lord, your grace is amazing. We thank you for it, God. We thank you that your presence is in our midst. And Lord, open our ears to hear. Help us to have the ability to learn something new today and to take action on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 51. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 11. It's going to come up on the screen as well. Not yet, though. Turn there now, but don't put it up yet. So while you're turning there, there was a pastor of a church that wanted to celebrate Christmas by thanking the board members of his church with a celebration, a little gift. During the service, he announced, "There will be a brief meeting of the board immediately after church, after this Christmas Eve service." So at the close of the service, the group gathered at the back of the church for the announced meeting. It was Christmas Eve, so there had been a few visitors that showed up. As the board gathered, they realized that there was a stranger in their midst. He was a visitor who had never attended their church before. And so after everyone else left the church, the board deliberated a bit. The pastor turned to the man. He said, "My friend, did you understand that this is a board meeting?" He said, "Oh, yes. After that sermon, I'm about as bored as you can get." Yes. So hopefully that doesn't happen today. Hopefully you guys are not feeling that way when I'm done. But I just wanted to give you guys a little chuckle this morning. Isaiah 51, verse 1 through 11, we're going to be reading. "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in a like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know the righteous, or you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Flip over two chapters to Isaiah 51. We're going to read a couple, or 53. We're going to be reading a couple of verses from there as well, verses 1 through 5. "Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. So, a lot of scripture today, but I want to focus on these two verses mainly. We're going to branch out to even more scripture today. Hope that's okay with you. So we see the arm of the Lord three times in this passage in 51 verse 5, 51 verse 9, and 53 verse 1. The Bible tells us that God is spirit and that we are not to create a physical form for him. So he doesn't have a physical body as a spirit, so how can a spirit have an arm if he doesn't have a physical body? Well, it's a common form of language that's used in the Old Testament. It's when authors give human characteristics to things that are not human, nature, God, other objects. It's called anthropomorphism. And there's many times where it's used in the Old Testament, where God's feet are referred to, or God's face. Psalm 98 mentions rivers that are clapping their hands, and Isaiah refers to mountains singing. These are examples of anthropomorphism. That's what's going on here when we hear the arm of the Lord. So these chapters in Isaiah are discussing a servant, in this middle part of Isaiah, a servant that's going to come and fulfill God's mission by restoring Israel and to be a light to the nations. So we now know that this servant is Jesus. And he's referred to multiple different ways in these chapters, one of them being the arm of the Lord. So today we're discussing how Israel used the frame, the arm of the Lord, to refer to God's deliverance in their past, in their present situations, and the ultimate future deliverance of all believers. So first, the arm of the Lord saved Israel's past. In order to understand this reference to the arm of the Lord in the Isaiah text, let's take a look at the origins of the arm of the Lord in the Bible. Back in the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, the Lord tells Moses to relay some information to the Israelites that he was going to deliver them from captivity in Egypt by the arm of the Lord. Exodus 6:6 says, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." He will redeem them by what? An outstretched arm. We go on to see that that's exactly what happens. If you're not familiar with the story, the Lord delivers the Israelites from the Egyptian captivity through the parting of the Red Sea, through delivering them through Pharaoh. And it says that it's done with an outstretched arm. An interesting thing that happens in this story is that when the Red Sea is parted, we see Moses extends his arm with the staff over the waters. And the story takes note of the outstretched arm of Moses and kind of draws us to think that it was the power of Moses' arm that parted the Red Sea. And that there is power in Moses' outstretched arm. However, later in the story, in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, we see Moses striking a rock in an angry rebellion against God with that same arm with which he stretched over the Red Sea. So that's something that actually, through this outburst of sin, we see that it's not actually Moses' arm that worked miracles. Moses is not equal with God, but is shown actually as equal to the rest of humanity that he was leading, which is a sinful rebel in need of restoration. So Moses' arm didn't have any power. Moses' staff was pretty much a physical representation of the power of God that was used to accomplish his work. And his arm wrongfully wielded that staff. It wasn't the arm of Moses that delivered the Israelites, but it was the power of the Lord. So we know that the arm of the Lord is the true source of deliverance for the Israelites. And we see it called upon throughout the rest of the Torah, throughout the rest of the Old Testament. We see it referred to the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord. You'll see it all throughout there, particularly in Deuteronomy and in the Psalms, when they call out with his deliverance happened with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. In Deuteronomy, we see it six times where it's referred to when they were delivered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm through the Red Sea. And multiple times in Psalms, including in Psalms 136:12, the famous song, "With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." No one knows that song? "His love endures forever." Yeah? No? Some people are like, okay, now. I was expecting everyone to know that song. Whatever. So we know that this one act of deliverance was not enough to turn Israel back to God for good, right? He didn't just deliver them once and then it was good for the rest of history. Not long after that, we see them wanting to go back into Egypt where they were just delivered from captivity. And then we see them worshiping a God that they created at Mount Sinai. And we see them forsaking the God that had delivered them with an outstretched arm. And they would continue in their rebellion over and over again. And they would see their temple and their city taken over. And they'd be forced into exile in need of deliverance yet again. So that's where we're going to, that's going to kind of bring us into the time of Isaiah and the major prophets and when they're writing. The arm of the Lord was writing, or was called upon to save Israel in their present, the time of this writing. So the Hebrew word for arm is zeroah. Everyone say zeroah. Zeroah, yeah. So it can mean a literal arm of a person, but as we've already discussed, God doesn't have a literal arm. And can also be used to refer to Yahweh's arm as an instrument of deliverance or a symbol of divine strength. So in our passages, we see it used as a symbol of Yahweh's strength. And it's used a lot throughout the Bible, that Hebrew word. But it's used a lot specifically referring to his mighty and delivering arm. So beyond just the deliverance from Egypt, the prophets of the Old Testament then go forward and they ask God to deliver them with the arm of the Lord in their present circumstances. This is the past from our point of view, but again, when the time that Isaiah and the other prophets are writing it, it's that their present struggles that they're dealing with. So Isaiah is one of these prophets that appeals to the arm of the Lord. In our main text in chapter 51 and 53, we see this arm is ready to judge in verse 51:5. We see it putting on strength to defeat the enemies as it had in the past in 51:9. And then in 53:1, we see it used as a synonym for redemption. So to those, basically saying to those whom the arm of the Lord is revealed, redemption comes. The arm of the Lord is something that brings redemption. Actually, in the book of Isaiah, between verses 30 and 63, the arm of the Lord is referred to with deliverance 13 times within that middle section of Isaiah. So it's a big theme in that middle part. And it's referred to as a method of deliverance from Israel's enemies, redemption for the people. So it's deliverance, it's redemption for the people, and it's ultimate salvation of the people of God. The arm of the Lord was delivering, redeeming, and saving his people. So Isaiah understood the arm of the Lord as integral to the coming salvation of mankind. But we see it in some other major prophets as well. Not just Isaiah. Jeremiah discusses the arm of the Lord in relation to creation of the world in his book, 27 verse 5 and 32:17. So not only is the arm of the Lord used for deliverance, but for creation itself. It was used in creation itself. Ezekiel refers to the arm of the Lord in relation to exile. So he is currently writing, when he writes, he's writing in the midst of Babylonian exile. The overthrowing of Jerusalem by Babylon had already taken place, and he's in exile. Babylon has taken over Jerusalem and has set the inhabitants of Jerusalem into exile, into captivity, into Babylon. And Ezekiel longs for the day when Israel will again be freed from captivity, both now, but also once and for all, too. He says in chapter 20, verse 33 and 34 of his book, well, God says, "As I live, declares the Lord, surely with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I will be the king over you. I will bring you out from peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out." Here the Lord speaks to Israel. He's reassuring him that he is their true king. There's this whole thing where Israel in the Old Testament, they wanted a king, and you see throughout the book of Judges, like, they're wanting a king. All they want is a king to be like the other nations, and God wants to be their king. And he's reassuring them here, like, I am going to be your true king. I'm not going to abandon you. God's going to gather his people up with his zeroah, his arm, and they're no longer going to be scattered. God's reassuring Ezekiel here. Eventually, Israel is returned from captivity and returns to Jerusalem. They are delivered yet again, but there's an even greater deliverance that still remains that's going to come from the arm of the Lord, and it's the one that ultimately these major prophets are looking forward to. There's going to be a future deliverance. Moses fails. Israel fails over and over again. We see that throughout the entire Old Testament. Us as people, we fail all the time, over and over again. We always talk about, man, Israel just never could get it, but we're the same way. And the arm of the Lord is always going to have to intervene for any chance at redemption. However, there is a true arm of the Lord that will not fail. One day there would be a man that would be the true arm of the Lord to deliver the promised redemption to his people once and for all. One that would deliver his spiritual family of Israel for good. All of these references to the arm of the Lord are ultimately pointing towards a future deliverance. And that deliverance comes through Jesus. Because Jesus is the true arm of the Lord in Scripture. Jesus is the true arm of the Lord. The Bible tells us a story of a man who comes to earth to be the arm of the Lord. He's going to be the arm of deliverance, the arm of redemption, the arm of salvation, of judgment. And this Redeemer doesn't have the arms of one that's going to sin out of anger or hold a staff in an unworthy way. The arms of this Redeemer, in the arms of this Redeemer, were the power of God himself. These arms would be the ones that would hold the power to heal. These arms would be the ones that would be nailed to a cross. And these arms would be the ones that would raise again and come off that cross. And these arms are going to be the ones that will provide future deliverance for all believers in our current circumstances and in our future circumstances. In the middle of all of these references to the arm of the Lord in Isaiah, we see a portrayal of this future Redeemer to come. We see the famous passage of the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53 emerge as the revealed arm of the Lord. It's mentioned in Isaiah 53 that the arm of the Lord is going. It says in the start of chapter 53, "Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And then it goes on to describe the arm of the Lord, which is that suffering servant, the one who's pierced for our transgressions. And by his wounds we are healed. And as a result, we don't have to carry the heavy burdens of everyday life that we would otherwise have to carry. Consider this for a moment. We don't have to carry our burdens with the arms that God has given us. Because if we do, we'll end up just like Moses, arms that are unworthy to wield the Lord's power. instead of carrying them ourselves, we can cast our burdens on the arm of the Lord himself that is much stronger than any Schwarzenegger arm, much stronger than any Truett arm. You know, this is the arm of the Lord that can carry the burdens of all of us that Matthew 11 tells us to cast our burdens on him, for he cares for us. At the time of writing, at the time of the writing of Isaiah, we had seen God's arm through Moses deliver the Israelites by the power of God. Moses was the leader of Israel, but he was not the savior of Israel. There would be one that's going to come later that will be the true arm of the Lord and the savior of Israel. In Isaiah and Ezekiel, we hear calls for the arm of the Lord to deliver them once again and to deliver them from exile. And we know that deliverance comes, but there's a greater need for deliverance because guess what? They mess up again and they're going to need deliverance again. That cycle continues. God's people will always continue to need deliverance. But the great thing is that the deliverer has come. That deliverer is Jesus. He has the power to overcome the hardships and the temptations that we face in everyday life. He is mighty, and just as Evan spoke about the mighty lion of Judah last week, lion of the tribe of Judah, we know that this arm of the Lord that Jesus has is mighty. The Revelation speaks of a time in the future when Jesus will come riding in on a white horse on his way to defeat the enemy for good. And that's the deliverance that I think the arm of the Lord is referring to all throughout the Bible. Sure, we're going to need deliverance in our present circumstances. And I think that the Lord can provide that. But there's going to be a time when he's going to deliver us once and for all. Dr. David Schrock, who heavily influenced this sermon, takes this reality of Jesus as the arm of the Lord and he relates it to Christmas fittingly, referring to the Magnificat, or the song that Mary sings after she's been notified that she's going to give birth to Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 51 through 55, he says, "At Christmas time, we do well to consider how God has brought salvation. And we do well to join with Mary in praising God for the strength of God's arm." Mary says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Mary starts that famous song of hers, or not, doesn't start it, but includes in that famous song of hers that he has shown strength with his arm. And she would be the one that would give birth to that arm not long later. Worship team, you can come on up here. Jesus is the true arm of the Lord. The mighty, powerful, delivering, redeeming, saving, creating arm of the Lord. And he's going to come and deliver evil, deliver us from evil once and for all. And he has the power and the desire to do it in our lives today. He doesn't want to passively sit by and watch our lives unfold. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants us to help us overcome our adversities and deal with our struggles. And he wants to help us overcome the temptations that we face. Maybe you're feeling like you're in a situation right now where you feel like Jesus is not showing his mighty arm in your life. Maybe you're thinking, how come he doesn't help me in the way that I want him to? I can assure you that he hears you. He cares for you. He prays for you. He loves you. and he is mighty enough to overcome. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites in the time of Moses. They've been away from their home. They've been in captivity for 400 years. They've cried to God for deliverance for generations and generations. Why would God not deliver them with his mighty arm after 400 years? Or consider the Israelites in the time of exile. They had found their way back to the promised land, and they had settled in Jerusalem. Finally, they made it back. But now they were driven out again and taken over by Babylon, captured by Babylon, a new captivity put into exile. Perhaps they thought that when they were in the promised land, they would remain there and they'd be safe forever. Why would God allow his people to be taken captive again? We see later on that they are set free again back into Jerusalem and delivered from exile. They called out to the army of the Lord for deliverance, and it seemed as though that redemption maybe would never happen. At that 400th year, when your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparent was also in captivity in Egypt, maybe you start to lose a little bit of hope. But God promised deliverance, and the arm of the Lord delivered them when the time was right. You're not alone in your situation. God has seen it time and time again. And the mighty arm of the Lord has shown that he can and he will deliver. So worship team is going to play. And while they're playing, you guys start playing. While they're playing, take some time to seek deliverance from the situation that you're in right now. Maybe you're just in a bad spot. Maybe you're not. That's great. If it's a bad situation, seek deliverance from Jesus, the arm of the Lord, because he has delivered people from bad spots before in supernatural ways. If it's not a bad situation, that doesn't mean don't seek the arm of the Lord. That means seek a way out of the cycle that we see in Israel, where there's deliverance, then complacency, then rebellion, then destruction, and then deliverance again. Seek a way out from that cycle. Let that deliverance be enough for you. Let that arm of the Lord and the strength that he has be enough so that you don't slip into complacency, which leads us down that cycle. Seek how his deliverance can last in your life so the rest of that cycle doesn't progress. So they're going to play. I invite you guys to come up to this altar and seek deliverance from the Lord from the situation that you're in, and seek deliverance from that cycle of sin that Israel sees all the time. This is open for you. I'm happy to pray for you. Let's just seek the Lord in these last moments.